Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Isaiah. Isaiah sent in a question. Micah, what did Isaiah ask?
What does Savior mean?
That's a great question. You may remember David in the Bible. David encountered many enemies who tried to kill him, including King Saul. Listen to what he wrote about God in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 through 4.
All right, 2 Samuel, that is in the Old Testament. And then we're going to go to chapter 22 and read verses 2 through 4. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 through 4. Aiden, what does that say?
He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies."
So David called God his Savior because God had saved him from violence. When he called upon God, he was saved from his enemies. His enemies would have hurt him, would have even killed him, but God stepped in to save David. So a Savior is someone who saves, who delivers, who helps keep us alive and safe when we are in danger. Not only does God save us from our enemies, but he also saves us from our sins. That's why Jesus died for us, so he could become our Savior and forgive us when we say we're sorry.
So we want to make sure that we're saying that we're sorry and asking Jesus to save us from our sins.
That's right.
Because a Savior can't save you if you don't want to be saved or if you don't reach out to them to be saved, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I think of the time when it was really muddy out and we were on those dirt roads. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you got our car stuck and so you called me up and you asked for me to come basically save you, rescue you with the big truck. And so I brought the truck and you had an option at that point, whether you were going to hook on that tow strap to the car or if you were just going to sit there in the mud and enjoy the view. And what did you choose?
Well, of course, I chose to be rescued.
Exactly. You chose to hook on that tow strap. You chose to get in the driver's seat. And as I started trying to pull you out, then you helped to navigate the car so that it wouldn't, you know, so that it could get back up on the road. Well, that's kind of how Jesus is he's there waiting to rescue us. He brings that truck to come pull us out of the mud. And we have an option. Are we going to allow him to rescue us? And are we going to ask him for help? Or are we just going to sit there?
Right. Are we going to call for help? Or are we just going to try to get out of it on our own?
Exactly. Thanks, Isaiah, for that question. You know, I'm so glad that we have a Savior who's Jesus. Aren't you? We're so glad you joined us today. If you want to find more programs and activities, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. Don't forget to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising him. This song was written by George Duffield, who was a Presbyterian minister. It was inspired from his friend Reverend Dudley Ting's dying words. This is the story. Reverend Dudley was against slavery. He hated slavery and would preach against owning slaves.
This was in the 1850s, just a few years before the Civil War in the United States that would divide the nation in 1861. Reverend Dudley's church congregation owned slaves, and they did not appreciate him preaching against slaveholding. So you know what they told him to do? They said, go find another job. Well, he did. He continued to preach at revivals. Those are kind of like evangelistic meetings. And he found great success. Many, many people gave their hearts to Jesus. And I'll tell you the rest of the story next time. But until then, let's sing this song, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Hey, boys and girls. I'm glad you're back with me again today as we learn and we start a new lesson called Sharing Jesus' Love. We are on the last week of this quarter. Woo! We have one more quarter to go before the end of the year. But right now, we're going to pause and pray that Jesus will be with us. Lord, we want you in our hearts and in our minds. We want your spirit within our souls, that you will help us to do what is right, that you will help us to learn and to grow, and that you will lead us in our study today. In Jesus' name, amen. The good news about Jesus was to go to many places besides Jerusalem. It wasn't just to stay there. It was to go to the whole world. And when many of the believers had to leave Jerusalem, they told others about Jesus wherever they went. Well, the apostles, that's what the disciples were called now after Jesus had gone back to heaven, the apostles were busy visiting the believers and helping them to learn to work for Jesus. This was a time of peace for the church. Saul had been converted, and now he was preaching Jesus as well. As these apostles were busy traveling around and telling people about Jesus, it reminded me of circuit preachers. Do you know what a circuit preacher is? It was a pastor or clergy member who, in the early years of the United States, they went around and they would teach and preach in the different territories. So instead of just being assigned a church, they were assigned a territory. And this territory was made up of lots of different churches. So in order to visit all of the churches, they had to go to each church, to a different one each and every week. They were on the road a lot. And that was before they had cars or buses or airplanes or scooters. They had to ride a horse. And it was hot and it was dusty in the summer and it was cold and freezing in the winter. But they went on. Some of them had very large districts. And what I found fascinating was that a clergy or a pastor would get a certain district for a year, and then at the next meeting where they would all get together, they would be reassigned a new district. So it wasn't very common for them to have the same district year after year. The nice thing was that as the United States was being settled, as people were moving further and further west, as they were ranching and settling down, these pastors would be assigned new territories. And so they were able to expand just as the region and the population was expanding. The apostles in Jesus' day, they were also going around. It was like they were circuit riders. They would go around to the different believers and they would help and encourage them and teach them more and more about Jesus and his love for them and help the new believers. One of the places to which Peter went was called Lydda. And there he saw one of the believers named Aeneas who had palsy. Another version says that he was paralyzed, so he couldn't move. He had been in bed for 8 years, and he wasn't able to walk or to move like healthy people. Have you ever been really sick and been in bed, and you can't walk and you can't move? Yeah, there are some people that they end up having accidents or something happens that damages their body and they're not able to move. Well, that was what had happened to Aeneas. And what did Peter say to him? Let's look it up in Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 34. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 34. We're going to see what this says. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 9, once you find chapter 9, then you're going to look at verse 32, 33, and 34. Acts chapter 9, verse 32, 33, and 34. Let's see what that says.
Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints, who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man, named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make up your bed. Then he arose immediately.
Experts believe that Lydda was right on the boundary of the Shepla and the coastal plain. It was about a day's journey from Jerusalem. That's where Peter went. He went there to talk to the believers, and he came across this man named Aeneas. Now, what did Peter do for Aeneas? What did he say to him? He said, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed. And what happened? He got up, he arose, and he went, and he was healthy and totally fine. Oh, how happy Aeneas must have been. From then on, he would only need his bed to sleep in at night. He wasn't helpless anymore. People didn't have to wait on him. They didn't have to turn him so that he didn't get bed sores. He could walk, he could run, he could jump, he could work. Oh, he must have been so happy. Of course, many people soon knew that Aeneas was healed, and Aeneas must have loved to tell them about what Jesus had done for him. What did many of those people do? Let's look at verse 35. What happened in verse 35? Acts chapter 9, verse 35. Those are the little numbers, the verses. We're looking at verse 35. Here's what it says.
So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord.
Because of Peter healing Aeneas, it says, they saw him and turned to the Lord. Wow, what an example. The city of Joppa was not far from Lydda. One day, two men came hurrying from Joppa with a very important message for Peter. Hurry, hurry, as fast as you can. Well, as Peter went with those two men, they probably told him about a very important person. She had just died. Who was she? Well, we're going to look that up too. Look at the very next verse, verse 36. We're going to read 36, 37, and 38. So Acts chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38. Let's see what that says.
At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them.
So there was a woman. What was her name? Tabitha. And that's translated Dorcas. She was full of good works, charitable deeds, which means that she did wonderful things for people. But you know what? She got sick. And she died. And they washed her and laid her in an upper room, so they prepared her body for burial. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and so they sent two men to him, asking him, please don't delay, come right now. Wow. What do you think is going to happen next? Do you think maybe Peter will raise her to life? Well, we're going to find out next time. Has Satan brought all sickness and death to our world? Yes. Whenever somebody gets sick, it's because of Satan. God does not give us sickness. He does not give us death. God gives us life. He wants us to be happy and free. And it's really sad when people are hurt, when they're injured, when they're sick, even when people die. But you know what's so wonderful? Jesus can make those sad things become a blessing. Like, look at Aeneas. He had been paralyzed for 8 years. People might say, how can anything good come from this? But the Bible said that when Peter healed him, what ended up happening? Many people saw what had happened and they turned to the Lord. His life was an example and a testimony. Boys and girls, Jesus wants to use you to be an example and a testimony for him. Even when bad things happen, Jesus can still bring good things from it. Let's pray and ask him to work his perfect will in our lives. Lord, thank you so much for your love and your care. Help us that even when bad things happen, to trust you and to know that you can bring good things even out of bad. Come into our hearts today. Help us to be strong and brave for you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our memory verse. We have a new one, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. It says, God shows no partiality. It means that God still loves us no matter what we look like, no matter how we act. We are loved by God. Doesn't matter the skin color. It doesn't matter our hair. It doesn't matter any of those things. God shows no partiality, but he works righteousness in us. Aren't you glad? I know I am. Let's start learning this song together.
Acts 10, 34 and 35.
God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. God shows no partiality.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.